This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents The Locket, written by Jerry Hill, performed by Geneviève Bevier. Chapter 1.
Detectives, Jeremiah, Springer, I need to see you.
Harper and Reed exchanged glances.
What did you do now?
He asked with a grin. She stood and pushed her chair from her desk.
Yeah,
it's usually me, but this time it's probably you. He found out you've been dating that hooker. He held up his hand.
One date? And I didn't know she was a hooker.
Yeah, yeah. She shook her head.
Can't believe you slept with her.
She tapped the lieutenant's door.
Sir? Come in, Harper.
Lieutenant Mize looked past her to Reed and shook his head.
A hooker, Springer? Really?
Harper laughed as Reed's face turned bright red.
I swear, Lieutenant, I didn't know.
Lieutenant Mize turned his attention to her.
And what's got you so jovial?
I'm always jovial.
Yeah? In what universe?
She shrugged. No, she wasn't normally jovial, especially with Lieutenant Mize. The man rarely cracked a smile.
Well, you know, I'm trying to chill out.
So, the anger management class has helped, huh?
Good. Keep that in mind when I give you your new assignment.
New assignment? We've got a serial rapist. Springer and I...
Springer's got a serial rapist. You've got an actress.
She frowned.
An actress?
He tossed a file on his desk.
Orders from the top, detective. Danielle Stevens is going to shadow you for a week or so.
Reed's eyes widened.
Danielle Stevens? Oh, my God! She's going to be here? In our squad?
Looks like it. Harper narrowed her eyes.
Who is Danielle Stevens?
They both looked at her as if she'd grown a second head.
Come on, Harper, Reed said. The cruise, the Manhattan dance.
Blonde, sea-green eyes, the lieutenant added wistfully, his mouth almost lifting in a smile.
Beautiful. She's like a combination of Jennifer Aniston, Meg Ryan, and Sandra Bullock. Beautiful, smart, sexy, lovable.
No offense, Lieutenant, but you're showing your age with those comparisons. She stared at both of them and shook her head.
No, I'm not doing it. Find someone else.
I'll do it. I'll do it, Reed said quickly, raising his hand and practically dancing in front of Lieutenant Mize.
Sit down, both of you, he said. Detective Jeremiah, you've been selected. You don't have a choice.
What do you mean? I don't have a choice.
It means exactly what I said.
He motioned to the chair.
Sit down. Apparently they're going to shoot a movie here. We'll get some exposure. Some of our officers will get to be extras, whatever the hell that is, and it'll give us a chance for a little community outreach and some positive PR for once.
She leaned forward in her chair.
So you're saying that catching a serial rapist, one who's been terrorizing our citizens for 6 months now, is taking a backseat to some goddamn Hollywood actress? Yeah, that's good for our community outreach. What idiot decided that?
He stared at her, that same cool expression on his face that she'd seen for the last year.
Calm down, detective. Most people would jump at this chance.
I'm not most people. This is a goddamn waste of my time. He took his glasses off and tossed them on his desk.
I swear, Harper, every day you remind me more and more of Tory Hunter. It's uncanny, really.
He picked up his glasses again.
And that's not really a compliment.
So you keep saying.
Hunter? From Homicide?
Reed shook his head.
No, I don't see it. Harper's too nice. About the only thing they have in common is their track record with partners. They say Hunter went through like 10 of them or something. Most of them got killed, too. Pushed one of them out of a two-story window, I hear. She glared at him. Well, you're still alive, for now. He laughed. It's only because I'm such a good guy that I put up with your shit, Harper. I do believe, since you've been in assault, I'm like your fifth partner, right? They're all still alive, she said dryly. I think. She'd never met Tori Hunter, but this was the third time Lieutenant Mize had mentioned her. The first time was after she'd thrown a suspect out of a window when he spit on her. 7 days or so, Harper. Again, it's not a choice. Why me? She'll probably be asking herself that question after she meets you. What does that mean? That means she selected you from all of the files that were sent over. If it's any consolation, I think Detective O'Connor in Homicide was a close second. He shoved the file closer to her. That's her. And a briefing of what she hopes to accomplish while shadowing you. Harper picked up the file, and she literally stopped breathing when she saw the photo. Wow, she whispered. Uh-huh, Reed said as he peered over her shoulder. Wow is right. Jesus. No wonder he wanted this assignment. Long blonde hair, parted just off-center, dark eyebrows, and sea-green eyes? No, more deep ocean blue. The lips were turned up in a smile, revealing perfect white teeth. The smile was a hauntingly beautiful smile. One she didn't want to look away from. The eyes, however, weren't quite smiling. They were guarded, shadowed. As striking as Danielle Stevens was, the somewhat pensive look in her eyes made her even more so, in Harper's opinion. What were those eyes hiding? She wondered. She finally moved the photo out of the way and looked at the one-page directive instead. A car chase? She wants a car chase? She shook her head. And a murder scene? She closed the file and tossed it back down. She does know that we're not homicide, right? Maybe you should give Detective O'Connor a call. Chapter 2 Why are you driving all the way to Dallas? That's crazy. What if there's a storm or something? Danielle impatiently closed the trunk of the car she'd rented. February in Dallas was practically spring, she'd been told. She turned to Shelley, her assistant. The fact that she wanted to drive didn't seem to be a good enough answer. We've gone over this twice already. So, you hate airports? She sighed. I told you, I don't like people staring at me. And demanding autographs and pictures, she added silently. Danny, you're an actress. You're hot. You're it right now. Take advantage of it while it lasts. Once you hit 30, it's all downhill from there. How many times have you heard that? So in less than 2 years, she should be home free, she thought wryly. She stared at the modest house she was renting. You'll get the locks changed while I'm gone? Yes, I told you I would, and I'll look for something else for you. Something small, quiet, gated community would be good. I know, I know. Shelley shook her head. But why rent? Why don't you just buy something? You're on the verge of superstar status, Danny. I don't know why you refuse to act like it. Danielle blew out her breath. Superstar status? No, she wouldn't go that far. And it would do no good to tell Shelley that she didn't want to be a superstar. That would be blasphemy. The truth was, she didn't want to be an actress at all. She wanted to be anything but an actress. Yet here she was, about to head to Dallas to prepare for a new role, and her fifth movie. She hadn't told Shelley. She hadn't told anyone, not even her agent. But it would be her fifth and final movie. She simply couldn't continue to live like this. She'd had no aspirations of stardom, no aspirations of living a public life. She had always been a very private person, even when she was a child. She always guarded her feelings, her emotions, her thoughts. Private. Yet there was nothing private about her life now. In fact, she had no life. The friends she'd had before all of this were gone for the most part. She rarely saw or even spoke to her parents. Even with her sister, she remained distant. Because the world she lived in now, it wasn't real. She wasn't real. No, she was this caricature created by the movies, by the parts she played. She wasn't Rachel from The Cruise. She wasn't Brianna from Manhattan Dance. She wasn't Claire from Shores of St. Clair. She wasn't even Danielle Stevens. "Are you okay? Has this stalker thing really gotten to you that much?" Danny gave her a half smile. "I thought you didn't believe me." "The police don't believe you. I do. I've seen the dolls." "Yes, the stalker thing has gotten to me," she admitted, which was one reason she was heading out early for Dallas. She would take 3 days to drive there, 3 days to clear her head. Then she would have a week or so with Detective Jeremiah. She absolutely loved that name, and hopefully her stalker will have moved on to someone else by the time she got back. "They say you haven't really made it big until you have a stalker." "Well, according to the police, I don't have one." Yet she did. At first, she thought she was imagining things, or losing her mind. A picture was moved, books out of order, dishes rearranged. But she couldn't explain fresh flowers waiting for her on the dining room table, or the box of chocolates that were sitting by her coffee pot one morning, or the love letters that started appearing. The police thought she was a diva wanting attention. There was no evidence of a break-in, no fingerprints, nothing taken. She'd had the locks changed 3 times. She had a security camera installed. A security camera that mysteriously stopped working at the most inopportune times. Like when a dozen roses were left in her kitchen during the night. Black roses this time. Or when the doll was left just inside her front door. The doll whose hair had been chopped off and its belly ripped open, revealing benign cotton stuffing inside. Stuffing that had been spray-painted red. The police took notice after that, but she suspected the detective assigned to the case thought she might be doing it all herself, like stopping the camera long enough to plant the flowers, the doll. She got a gun after that incident. That didn't help her fall asleep, though, especially not after reading the latest love letter that was left for her. She couldn't tell who he was in love with, or who he was mad at. At first, she thought it must have been Brianna. Brianna had been fun and flirty and sexy. But after reading the last letter, she thought maybe it was Claire. Claire had been engaged. Claire met someone new, her fiancé's best friend. Claire fell in love and broke a heart in the process. "Her stalker had a broken heart," he said. "Her stalker, while saying he loved her, was mad at her. Her stalker thought she needed to be punished. She thought she needed to get away. And fast." Chapter 3.
"I can't believe you've never heard of Danielle Stevens. She's like the hottest thing out there right now."
"I don't go to movies," she said as she dodged 2 officers bringing in a guy in cuffs.
"Standing in a grocery store checkout? Surely you've seen her pictures on magazines,"
Reed said, as he struggled to catch up with her.
"Look, I get it. She's a big star. All the guys love her, blah, blah, blah."
She shrugged.
"Means nothing to me. My only concern is I've got to babysit her while freaking Hernandez works our case with you."
"It's not like it's going anywhere, Harper. The last 3 victims can't even agree if he's black or white."
She stopped and ran a hand through her hair.
"You'll keep me in the loop, right?"
"I will. We should get the lab results back this afternoon."
He looked at his watch.
"So when's she meeting you?"
She smiled at him as she started walking again.
"Come on, Reed. Mai's already laid down the rules. No harassing her, remember?"
"Yeah, but you're going to introduce me, right? I mean, Danielle Stevens? I get a chubby just thinking about her walking into the squad room."
He nudged her.
don't you? He teased.
Yeah, right. She is so my type, isn't she? She asked sarcastically.
Sadly, you don't have a type, Harper.
An image of Jan flashed before her eyes. Her light brown hair a shaggy mess, as usual. Her mouth lifted at the corners in a smile. Her dark eyes twinkling as they looked into hers.
Yeah. She had a type. Once.
And I don't know why, Reed continued. You're cute. You're too cute, really. You know, for a tomboy and all.
Shut up, Reed.
Hey, that was a compliment. Your attitude could use a little adjustment, though. That's all I'm saying.
She stopped and stared at him.
What's wrong with my attitude?
Well, you know, you're a little abrupt sometimes. You're all business. You could stand to lighten up some and smile more.
I mean, you've got a really pretty smile. You should use it.
What's to smile about in our line of work?
That's your problem. You never get away. You work 24/7. I keep telling you, you need to get a personal life. You need to get laid.
Like you? And the hooker? He laughed.
Not going to let that one go, are you?
No way. She stopped again.
Why do you think Mize dislikes me?
He already told you that he wasn't the one who gave you this assignment.
It's not just that. He's been my boss for nearly a year, and he still keeps me at a distance. He doesn't do that with you.
Reed looked around them, then pulled her off to the side.
You want to know what I heard? His wife left him. For a woman. A cop.
Great. And he takes it out on the only lesbian in his squad. She shook her head.
So who's this Tory Hunter that he keeps mentioning?
Badass, he said with a grin.
In her younger days, anyway. She's mellowed, they tell me. She left Homicide and went to the FBI for a few years, but she's back. And man, you should see her wife.
He whistled. Now that would be your type. Samantha Kennedy. She's over at CIU.
How do you know all this?
I worked Homicide before I came here.
Jesus, don't you listen to anything I say?
Yeah, that's right. You tried to impress me with all of your skills.
She smiled at him and patted his cheek. And I believed you. Right up until the time we came across the man whose wife cut off his penis. She laughed.
Your second week on the job, if I recall. First partner I ever had who...
Threw up. Yeah, yeah, he said. He gave an exaggerated shudder.
God, that was awful. I had nightmares after that.
Hell, I had nightmares.
You think they salvaged that thing? It was pretty mangled.
I try not to think about it.
You probably don't want to tell that story to Danielle.
A whole damn week, she groaned. What the hell are we going to talk about for 7 days?
I'm still trying to figure out why she picked you in the first place.
Well, obviously, she wanted the best. He laughed.
Yeah, now there's that cocky attitude that I love so much.
Chapter 4 Danny took a deep breath before opening the door. She was told she wouldn't be flooded with requests for autographs and pictures. She was told it would be very professional. She was also told that Detective Jeremiah wasn't thrilled with the assignment and that she shouldn't take it personally if the detective was short or rude to her. In fact, they'd offered to assign her to someone else if, after they met, she wasn't happy with her choice. They were being extremely accommodating. The fact that Detective Jeremiah didn't want her to shadow her made her more confident that she'd made the right choice. She took a moment to look at her attire. A black t-shirt, her favorite pair of jeans, a black leather belt, dark gray Saucony running shoes, a black jacket, and a Dallas Cowboys cap that she'd picked up just that morning. It wasn't enough to hide who she was, but with her hair pulled back in a ponytail, she hoped she looked less like a celebrity and more like an everyday person. She finally pushed open the door and walked inside the squad room. Activity and conversation ceased immediately as all eyes turned her way. She put on her famous facade. She smiled brightly, a smile that no one but her would know was forced, and faced them all. As promised, though, no one rushed forward.
"Hello, everyone," she said cheerfully. "Lieutenant Mize? I'm supposed to meet with him."
They all seemed to look at each other, no one speaking. She raised both eyebrows questioningly.
Down there,
someone finally said, pointing.
Second door.
Thank you. She headed in that direction, then turned back around. She gave another smile.
Relax, everyone.
Nervous laughter followed, and she mentally rolled her eyes. Men. Lieutenant Mize's door was ajar, and she knocked twice on the glass before pushing it open. Two men turned to look at her. One older, 60-ish, she would guess. The other younger, a handsome man with sandy blonde hair, perhaps in his early to mid-30s. They both stared openly, neither speaking. She turned to a woman who was seated. Dark, thick hair, parted on the side and swept across her forehead. Detective Jeremiah. The scowl on her face was only slightly less than the one in her photo. The eyes, however, were the same. The dark brown eyes that had drawn her in the first place.
Judging by the idiotic looks on their faces, I'm assuming you're Danielle Stevens.
Danny nodded. Yes, and you're Detective Jeremiah.
She held a hand out. Pleased to meet you.
Yeah.
The woman hesitated before standing and shaking her hand. She was taller in person than she'd appeared in the photo.
Yes, I heard you weren't thrilled when you accepted this assignment.
Yeah, that's not exactly how it went down. You know, accepting it and all.
Danny nodded. I know. Your people told my people.
Oh, we have people?
Danny smiled, so wishing she didn't have people.
We do, and I'm sorry if this is an inconvenience.
An inconvenience?
Yeah, I'm sure for my 5 rape victims it's an inconvenience that I'm being pulled off the case, you know, to babysit you for 7 damn days.
Danny was surprised by the hostility in her voice, and it must have pulled Lieutenant Mize from his trance. He came around his desk and held his hand out.
Pleasure to meet you, Miss Stevens. I'm Lieutenant Mize. This is Detective Springer, he said, motioning to the other man, who still hadn't found his voice. And I assure you, Detective Jeremiah, he said, casting a glare in her direction, meant nothing by that. We have her workload covered while you're here.
Danny shook his hand firmly.
That's good to know. Thank you.
She turned to Detective Springer and held out her hand to him.
Detective, nice to meet you.
He shook her hand, holding it a second or three too long.
I must be in a dream, he muttered, as if to himself. Danielle Stevens. Oh, wow. You're... Take a deep breath, Reed,
Detective Jeremiah said. It's okay, buddy.
The man blushed and took a step back.
I'm sorry, it's just...
I understand. She turned her attention back to Detective Jeremiah.
So, how does this work? Do we hang out here and wait for a call, or do we hit the streets?
Oh, yeah. You wanted a car chase and a murder scene, she said dryly.
Well, that's what they told me to request. I'm really more interested in getting a feel for how you react in different situations, things like that.
Her reaction? I don't think you should model your character after Harper here,
Detective Springer said with a laugh.
She's like, so not you.
Shut up, Reed. You're acting like an idiot.
Detective Jeremiah headed for the door.
Come on, Miss Stevens. Let's get out of here. Maybe we'll get lucky and stumble upon an assault or something.
Danny hurried after her, then remembered her manners. She turned back, giving both men a smile.
Nice to meet you. Thank you for lending her to me.
Don't thank me yet,
Lieutenant Mize said.
You may be begging for someone else by the end of the day.
I'm fairly certain I can handle her.
You coming or what?
Danny caught up with her before she reached the outer door.
Sorry, Detective.
Harper Jeremiah held the door open for her.
In case you couldn't tell, I am the envy of every man in here.
Yes, and you're probably the only one in here who would have said no to this assignment, if given the choice.
You're right about that. She paused. Is that why you picked me?
Being female was the main criteria, obviously. But no, I picked you because of your eyes. She said honestly.
My eyes?
The profile picture they sent me, she explained. In that photo, you looked like you wanted to be anywhere other than sitting there for a picture. Your eyes. It was like you had better things, more important things, that you should be doing. Plus, she was really, really cute, she added silently. Detective Jeremiah gave her a smirk.
Yeah, like now, for instance.
Ah, your rape case. 5 victims? She asked as she followed her outside the building. Same guy?
That's the assumption. Same M.O. Wears a mask, gloves, no evidence left behind, not even a pubic hair.
She pointed to a drab green Ford Taurus.
This one.
So, are you and Detective Springer partners normally?
Yeah, he's not usually such an idiot.
I've seen worse.
You mean when people meet you?
Men, yes.
I imagine so.
She pulled out onto the street, merging with traffic.
So, Ms. Stevens, you want to pick my brain or you just want to drive around or what?
How about let's not use Ms. Stevens? Danielle. Or better yet, call me Danny. I'm kind of tired of being Danielle Stevens. I wouldn't mind leaving her behind for a week.
Okay. You can call me Harper.
Is that your real name? Harper Jeremiah?
Why wouldn't it be?
I was just curious. I love your last name. And Harper? After Harper Lee?
She nodded. My grandmother was so taken by the book that she named my mother Harper Lee Monroe. Everyone calls her Lee, though. Technically, I guess I was named after my mother and not the author.
Harper glanced at her.
My grandmother wanted to name me Scout.
Danny laughed. That would have been precious. She tilted her head. I was told you were hard to get along with. In fact, your lieutenant said that I might be begging for a change after today.
Yeah. And?
She shrugged. I don't see it.
Harper looked at her quickly. Well, you just met me. I guess I need to try harder, huh?
A car pulled up so close to them that Danny could have reached out and touched it had her window been down. She turned, looking at the driver. She gasped when all she saw was a clown face. An evil, creepy clown face that stared back at her. She screamed as something was thrown at her window, splashing it with a red, gooey substance. Then the car sped off, turning down a side street and disappearing into traffic.
What the hell was that?
Harper demanded, as she pulled over to the curb and stopped. Danny was shaking when she turned to look at her.
I guess I should have told you. I kind of have a stalker. That might have been him.
Chapter 5. Harper stood with her hands on her hips, staring at the mess on the side of her unmarked police car. She then turned to Danielle Stevens, who was standing beside her, staring at the red goo as well.
A stalker?
Danny nodded, without looking at her.
Are you kidding me?
Danny turned to her then.
I wish I was.
Harper ran a hand through her hair.
Jesus, she muttered.
She stared at her with a shake of her head.
What kind of a stalker?
What kind? The creepy kind.
Danny held her hands up.
What other kind is there?
A horn honked 3 times.
Hey, beautiful, you look just like Danielle Stevens.
Jesus Christ, get back in the car, Harper said quickly. She slammed the door, trying to decide what to do.
She tapped the steering wheel with her thumbs. A stalker. A goddamn stalker. She turned to Danielle Stevens.
So, who has a stalker?
What?
I mean, who really has a stalker?
Danny stared at her. You don't know who I am, do you?
Harper shrugged. You're an actress, and according to Reed, the hottest thing out there.
She wasn't sure what reaction she was expecting, but a laugh wasn't it.
Oh, my God. You really don't know, do you?
Okay, look, in my defense, I don't do movies. Never have. So, no.
Danny leaned her head back.
Do you have any idea how this makes me feel?
Oh, great. Now I've insulted the actress. She sighed. Look, I'm sorry. You're a big star, I guess. That's what they tell me. But...
Another laugh.
No, no, I'm saying this is so refreshing. You don't know who I am. You don't care who I am.
Danny met her eyes, and Harper was taken aback by their blueness.
Somehow, I knew that, I think, when I picked you. I think I knew that.
Harper wasn't quite sure how to respond to that, so she said nothing. She started the engine and pulled out onto the street, trying to decide what to do. Should she head back to the station and report the incident? Should she brush it off and ignore it?
You don't believe me, do you? About the stalker?
Harper glanced at her.
Forgive me if I'm not experienced in stalker protocol for celebrities.
They didn't believe me either.
Who?
The police. I think they thought I was making it up, looking for attention or something, publicity.
Okay, so you've reported it?
Of course I have. The police have been to my house several times.
Harper turned to the right, going down a side street, and she pulled into the first parking spot she found. She cut the engine and turned in her seat to face Danielle Stevens.
Okay, let's start over. You have a stalker.
Danny nodded.
Yes.
She took off her seatbelt, turning to face her too. It started months ago. 5 or 6, maybe.
And you think this guy, in a clown face, was the one?
Yes. What else would it be?
Harper rubbed her eyes.
And the police there said what?
Look, I know it sounds crazy. I know that. The police that came, yeah, they said I was crazy. But I'm not.
She reached out and grabbed Harper's arm.
At first, it was little things. Pictures moved around, dishes in different places, just enough stuff to make me think I'm losing my mind.
Her fingers tightened on her arm.
Then, during the night, while I'm sleeping, stuff started appearing. Flowers, chocolates, love letters.
Her hand slipped away, and she wrapped it around herself.
Then suddenly the tone changed. Black roses, dolls, dolls that had been, well, violated.
Okay. And the police did what?
Nothing. Like I said, they thought I was making it up or something. For publicity. There was no evidence of a break-in. No evidence of anyone being inside my house.
That makes no sense.
I know. I had the locks changed 3 times. I installed a security camera. Nothing helped. He still got in. The security camera conveniently malfunctions at the time he's there.
So you're saying some guy came into your house at night while you were sleeping?
Yes. He comes during the day while I'm gone, and he comes at night while I'm sleeping.
And the police didn't believe you?
After the first doll, the detective who was assigned the case, he was sympathetic. I was practically hysterical, but I'm not sure he believed me, and he said there was nothing he could do. Without the security camera, without any evidence of forced entry, well, there wasn't anything. They increased patrols there, that was all. He suggested I hire a bodyguard or a security detail to park at the house.
And that didn't work either?
Danny shook her head.
I didn't do it. I can't live like that. I won't live like that.
Okay, so then what?
I came here. I hoped maybe my being away would make him stop.
She sighed. I don't think stalkers just stop, Danny. My experiences with something like this are ex-boyfriends harassing the old girlfriend or the new boyfriend. I've seen far too many of them end badly.
I'm sorry. It didn't occur to me that he would follow me here.
Harper frowned. How did he even know you would be here? Has it been publicized? Danny shook her head.
No, not at all.
Not unless your department put out a statement or something, which we asked them not to. But you've got people. You know, your people talked to my people. Danny nodded.
Yes, of course there are some who knew of my plans, but I guard my privacy. They know that. They would never advertise it without my consent.
Harper started the car again and pulled out into traffic. Well, if the clown guy is really your stalker, he knew you were here somehow. Not only that, he apparently followed us from the station.
Where are we going?
I need to let Lieutenant Mize know. I'm responsible for your safety.
I don't think he wants to hurt me, really. I mean, he's had ample opportunities already. He wants me scared, I think. He wants me punished.
Harper looked at her questioningly.
The letters, Danny explained. Each one gets a little more, well, detailed.
Do you have them?
Danny shook her head. No. I mean, yes, I have them, but not with me.
You've shown them to the police?
Not the last few. I really didn't see the point since the detective there thought I was making it all up anyway.
Okay. Give me an example of the letters. What do they say?
The early ones were just love letters, infatuation. But now, he's mad at me. He's in love with me, but he's mad at me. I deserve to be punished, that sort of thing.
What do you take that to mean?
I don't know. The only thing that comes to mind would be my character Claire, in Shores of St. Clair.
Harper raised her eyebrows.
Oh, yeah, you haven't seen it. Danny smiled. I find that fascinating, by the way.
That I don't do movies, or that I don't know who you are?
Both. Anyway, Claire was engaged to be married. She meets the best friend, they fall in love. Derek's heart gets broken. He was the fiancé, and the wedding at the end was for Claire and Brian, not Derek.
And the clown-faced guy equates himself to Derek?
That's just my guess, Danny said. I don't know what else it could be.
Well, I don't know how much shadowing you're going to be doing if I've got to keep an eye out for a damn clown stalking you. Chapter 6. A clown? A clown threw red goo on your car? Harper nodded. Yeah. Lieutenant Mize looked over at her. A stalker?
Danny nodded. Yes. Like I told Harper, Detective Jeremiah, I had no idea he would follow me here. I don't see how he could possibly even know that I was here in the first place.
He tapped his fingers together a few times, then folded his hands, resting his elbows on the desk. I'll need to run this by the upper brass, but our main concern here, Ms. Stevens, is your safety. Having you riding along with Harper makes you a little vulnerable, I think. We may need to rethink this operation.
Vulnerable? Quite the opposite, Lieutenant Mize. What could be safer than me riding with a police detective?
From Harper's account of the incident, if this guy had had a gun, you'd be dead. He was that close to you.
As I told Harper earlier, I don't think he wants me dead.
Stalkers stalk. It's a mental thing at first, but eventually that's not enough. They want physical contact as well. If your guy followed you here, if he got that close to you, where he could actually touch you if he wanted, then I think he's at that point.
The guy was in my house while I was sleeping. If he wanted to physically touch me, he could have.
Maybe he wasn't at that point yet.
So what do you suggest? I go back home and deal with it there?
Lieutenant Mize looked at Harper as if for confirmation. Danny was surprised that he appeared to be leaving it up to Harper to decide. The police there, they don't really have a handle on it, Lieutenant. Maybe they see too many cases of celebrity stalking, but they don't appear to be taking this one too seriously. And you think we should? I had already resigned myself to having her ride with me for a week anyway. Might as well stick to the plan. Maybe we can catch the bastard.
I'm not sure we want to risk her safety, Harper. Can you imagine the black eye the department would take if something happened to her?
Harper looked at her. I think that would be up to Ms. Stevens to accept the risk, not us.
Danny nodded quickly. And I do. She had known Harper Jeremiah all of a few hours, but she knew without a doubt that she could trust her. Going back home, knowing this guy was following her, was not an option. Her only protection there would be to do as the police had suggested, get a bodyguard around the clock. That wasn't something she was willing to do. Not yet, anyway.
Lieutenant Mize watched her for a few seconds, then turned his gaze to Harper.
Okay, I'll run it by the captain, but it may need to go higher. I am surprised, though, that you're willing to do this, considering.
Danny wasn't sure what he meant by that. Considering what? But Harper only gave him a slight shrug and said nothing.
Chapter 7.
Thank you. I know you could have suggested we cancel the whole deal, and your lieutenant would have gone along with you.
Harper nodded. Yeah, that's probably what she should have done. Send Danielle Stevens back to where she came from.
It was the look in her eyes, the fear, panic, she saw there that made her hesitate. She pointed to a chair beside her desk, then pulled out her own. Reed was out with Hernandez, chasing a lead on their case. And she was here, willingly babysitting a Hollywood actress with a stalker, of all things. She looked over at Danielle Stevens, an attractive young woman, a celebrity, a star, a woman who had told her to call her Danny. She drew her brows together.
Why are you tired of being Danielle Stevens?
Danny raised her eyebrows.
Excuse me?
Earlier in the car you said I should call you Danny, that you were tired of being Danielle Stevens.
Oh.
Danny glanced around them, and Harper did the same, finding a few pairs of curious eyes on them. Harper lowered her voice.
Not something you want to share out here in the open?
No.
Harper nodded. Well, my guess is that the captain will allow your presence here to continue as we'd planned, although we may have you sign off on something, just to cover our ass.
I signed a consent form already.
Yeah, they'll probably tweak it a bit to add your clown friend and all.
What did Lieutenant Mize mean when he said he was surprised you'd agree to stick with the plan? Considering.
Harper smiled quickly. Then it left her face. Well, I wasn't exactly thrilled with the assignment, as you already know. In fact, I refused to do it.
But?
But I was told I didn't have a choice. So now, I had a choice. I could have said that it was in your best interest, and our best interest, that you leave here and take your stalker back with you.
Danny shook her head. It's not in my best interest.
No, it's probably not. Besides, it might be kind of fun to try to catch a stalker.
I'm with a police detective. Do you think he'd be so bold as to try something again?
I think stalkers live for the chase. I don't think they consider the consequences, really.
Couldn't that be said of all criminals? They surely know the consequences of their actions. They just don't consider them.
Yes, a murderer. A thief, sure, they know the consequences. They do it anyway because they don't think they'll get caught. A stalker, in their mind, they don't think they're doing anything wrong. My experience is mostly with jilted lovers. They think they're still a part of this other person's life, so they feel like they belong there. In your case, whatever this guy is thinking, whether he's in love with you or what, in his mind, what he's doing is perfectly acceptable.
She paused.
He's not somebody you know, right? Old boyfriend or something?
Danny held her gaze for a moment.
No. No, I don't know him. And no, there is no old boyfriend.
Harper nodded.
Do you live alone, or?
I live alone, yes.
She smiled.
Are you fishing for gossip you can sell to a trashy magazine?
I thought they made up all that crap anyway.
They do.
They've had me dating actors that I've never even met before. Then we mysteriously break up, and I'm linked to someone else. It's crazy. I'm waiting for the one that says I'm pregnant or dying from some mysterious disease.
Must be hard not having a private life.
You have no idea.
Harper shrugged. Price you pay, I guess, for fame and fortune.
Well, sometimes things just fall in your lap, whether you wanted them or not.
Harper wasn't sure what she meant by that statement, but she didn't get a chance to ask. Lieutenant Mize motioned them back into his office. Judging by the look on his face, Danielle Stevens was being given a reprieve on her dismissal, as Harper had expected. She wasn't sure how she felt about it, really. She had been so adamantly opposed to this assignment at first. She was shocked that she didn't jump at the chance to get out of it. But she'd already gone into protection mode. She'd only caught a glimpse of the clown face, but she could still hear the frightened gasp that Danny had uttered, the scream when he'd thrown the red goo at them. She was a cop, and Danny was a woman, not a celebrity, who needed her help. It was as simple as that. The assignment to have an actress shadow her as she prepared for a movie had morphed into a protection detail in a matter of minutes. Chapter 8.
You sure you don't mind? Danny asked. I know it's been a long day.
I don't mind.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. The thought of going up to her hotel room alone was too intimidating to even consider doing. She had already resigned herself to begging if Harper had said no. But she hadn't. Harper would go up with her, make sure everything was in order, then wait until the door was locked before leaving. Harper would then pick her up in the morning so she wouldn't have to make the drive herself. They'd left her rental car at the station.
What about dinner? Will you feel safe ordering room service?
I hadn't even thought about dinner. I suppose room service will be fine.
She stared at her.
Don't you?
I imagine so.
Her shoulders sagged. Maybe I shouldn't have come. Maybe I should have done what the police suggested. Hire a bodyguard and a security detail.
Yeah, that might keep him at a safer distance. Might even be enough to make him move on to someone else.
You don't really believe that, do you?
No. If he's fixated on you, obsessed with you, then no. I don't believe he'll just quit, bodyguard or not.
I hate living like this, in fear.
How did you manage? I mean, knowing that he could get into your house at will, how did you sleep?
I got a gun. I don't know if that made me feel safer or not. Half the time I was afraid I'd roll over and shoot myself.
Harper glanced at her as she pulled into the hotel parking lot. You slept with it?
Yes, although slept is relative. I'm not sure I've had a good night's sleep in months.
Her room was on the 14th floor, and they rode up alone in the elevator. She felt Harper's eyes on her, and she looked at her questioningly. Nice cap. Are you a fan?
Danny smiled and touched the bill of the Dallas Cowboys cap. Not really, no.
Harper nodded. I'll bring you a police department one tomorrow. You'll blend in a little better riding with me.
Danny took her cap off now and removed the band that was holding her ponytail in place. She straightened her hair out with her fingers, longing for the day she could cut it again. Longing for the day when she could get her life back. Longing for the day when she could go back to being just Danny Strauss, and not have to live the life of Danielle Stevens. The elevator came to a stop, and she followed Harper out. This way, she said, motioning to their left when Harper hesitated. Harper took her key card from her and paused to listen at the door, tilting her head slightly before inserting it. The familiar click sounded, and the green light appeared. Harper pushed the door open slowly, and Danny peered over her shoulder into the shadowy room. She followed Harper inside, her gaze drawn to the bed. She gasped when she saw the doll. Harper put a steadying hand on her arm.
Stay here.
The doll was propped up against the pillows, the soulless eyes staring out into nothingness. It appeared to be larger than the ones he'd left before, although this one, instead of having the hair cut off, was topped with a red wig. She watched as Harper picked up the note that was beside the doll. Harper read it silently first, then looked at her. "You broke my heart when I saw you in the red wig. You lied. You'll be punished."
Jesus. She closed her eyes. He saw her? How could she explain this?
"Danny, does this mean anything to you?"
She stared at Harper for a moment, trying to decide what to do. She finally shook her head.
"No," she said, hoping Harper believed her. She looked around, looking for anything else that was disturbed.
"How did he get in?"
"I don't know."
She tucked strands of hair behind both ears. "He had to have been following me. When I got into town, I came straight here. He had to have followed me. But how did he know my room number?"
She walked closer to Harper.
I can't stay here tonight. I need a new hotel. I need..."
"No. You're my responsibility. Pack your things. But don't touch anything else. Let me call Lieutenant Mize."
"What are you going to do?"
"Get somebody up here to dust for prints. Collect the doll for evidence. The doll and the note."
She swallowed down her panic. The note, too?"
Harper raised an eyebrow. "What is it you're not telling me?"
"Nothing,"
she said quickly. Too quickly.
"Uh-huh."
Their gazes held, and Danny didn't dare look away. Harper finally conceded, giving her a quick nod.
"Okay, then. Pack your things. I'm going down to see if I can pull their security footage."
"Wait, now? You're going to leave me here alone?"
"Lock the door behind me. Don't let anyone in. I'll be right back."
"Harper, no. I'm scared."
Harper walked closer to her. "I won't let anything happen to you. I promise. The door locks from the inside. Don't let anyone in but me."
Danny let out a shaky breath. "Okay."
Before leaving, Harper looked under the bed, then opened up the wardrobe. Then she stepped into the bathroom.
"All clear."
She came back out. "Pack your stuff. I'll be back as soon as I can." Danny nodded, then followed Harper to the door, locking it behind her. She turned and leaned against it, her eyes closed.
How in the world was she going to tell Harper about the wig? About the bar? God, she knew she shouldn't have gone that night. She knew it. And now she was going to have to explain it to someone. Explain it to a cop who was investigating her stalker. There would be a police file. The doll would be evidence. So would the note. And her confession? Would that be evidence, too? "Had to go to the damn bar," she murmured.
Chapter 9.
So he had a key card?
"Yes. He was dressed as if he worked there, walked up to the door with a serving tray. I imagine that's where the doll was hidden."
"But he doesn't work there?"
"He knew where the cameras were," Harper said as she turned the corner. "There wasn't a clean shot of his face, but they don't think he works there."
"He knew what room I was in. He had a key card."
She raised her hands up.
"How could he know?"
"When's the last time he left something for you?"
Danny leaned back in the seat, trying to remember.
3 days ago? 4? "He didn't come inside. It was left at the door."
She glanced at Harper.
"A doll. A little smaller than this one, with the hair cut off. It was 3 or 4 days ago, the day before I left."
"Why does he cut the hair?"
"I'm not sure."
Harper stopped as the traffic lights changed from yellow to red.
"So when are you going to tell me about the note?"
Danny looked over at her.
I can't."
"Can't or won't?"
Danny swallowed.
"Both."
Harper studied her, and she wondered what she saw. Could she see through the lie?
"If you want me to help you, you're going to have to trust me."
As their eyes held, Danny realized that yes, she could trust Harper. That was the reason she'd picked her in the first place. Her eyes. But damn. She finally blew out her breath. Okay. Harper simply nodded, then pulled through the intersection when the light turned green. Danny turned and stared out the window, oblivious to the traffic around them. Was she really going to trust Harper with this? Even though she'd tried not to think about it, a part of her worried that her stalker might follow her here. And he had. And he was now threatening her. She had to trust Harper. There was no one else. She turned back, watching Harper as she drove. I'm sorry I'm being such a bother.
No bother.
Is there someone, well, that you share your house with? Someone who will mind that I'm there?
No, Harper said quickly. There's no one.
Danny was surprised by the dark shadow that crossed Harper's face, but she didn't comment on it. I appreciate you letting me stay with you, she smiled. Well, insisting I stay with you.
It's no problem. Until we find out how this guy is following you, I'd feel better if you were close by.
Danny laughed. You'd feel better? I'd feel better if you never let me out of your sight.
Harper smiled at her. That's probably what's going to happen. You'll be sick of me.
No, to be honest with you, for the first time in months, I actually feel safe.
Harper nodded. And I plan to keep you safe. But we need to talk. You've got to be honest with me. We need to figure out why this guy is stalking you, and how the hell he knows where you are.
Yes, I know. We'll talk. Danny took the glass that Harper handed her, feeling a bit nostalgic as she watched Harper slide the bottle away. Growing up in Tennessee, Jack Daniels was the only whiskey my friends drank. She took a sip, savoring the flavor that she remembered.
Tennessee? No way. You don't have an accent.
Danny smiled. Get me back home around my family, and I can southern twang with the best of them, she said with an exaggerated accent.
Harper laughed. Yeah, okay, I believe you.
She sipped from her glass as well.
Do you get home much?
The smile left her face. No, not in a while. She leaned back in the chair. What about you? I don't detect a Texas accent.
Harper shook her head. No, Tucson, born and raised.
How long have you been in Dallas?
Harper paused so long, Danny wasn't sure she was going to answer her. She finally let out a quiet breath. 3 years.
Were you a police officer there, too? A detective?
Harper nodded. Yes, I was in homicide, though, not assault.
She cleared her throat. But back to you.
Danny sighed.
Back to me. No amount of small talk would get her out of it, she supposed. She just wasn't sure how she was going to tell Harper Jeremiah, a perfect stranger, her secret.
The note? The red wig?
Harper prompted. Danny took a deep breath, letting it out slowly. This is very hard to say.
If you're worried about the tabloids or gossip or something like that, you can trust me.
Danny nodded. Yes, I think I can. She took another swallow from her glass, for courage, perhaps. I was out one night. I just wanted to be a normal person at a bar.
So you wore a red wig?
Yes. Not bright red, not like the doll's wig, no. She met Harper's curious gaze. I didn't want to be recognized because I was at a gay bar.
Okay, so doing research for a part or something?
Danny swallowed. No.
Harper frowned slightly. So, like a dance club, going for the music?
Danny shook her head. No.
Harper raised an eyebrow. So, like
I'm gay. Harper nearly dropped her glass.
What? I know I don't look like a lesbian.